You are still listening to CICK 939 FM. You have tuned into Mind Funnel. This is the David Lynch Mind Funnel crossover show. We've been waiting for this one. I'm joined here by the talented, the creative, Aurora. Thanks for joining us today. There you are.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for I'm always looking for a themed show. So Aurora came to me with an idea to do a David Lynch themed show because the great man's passing a couple months ago. And selfishly, I took the show on because what a good idea. And I love the films. I love the vibes.
Any chance to chat about David Lynch and nerd out about him, I'm happy to do it.
Perfect. And you've chosen such a good playlist, so great to have you here. So, I don't know, David Lynch, what can we say about David Lynch? He's the master of darkness, the sir of surreal. So
yes, I love that.
So tonight's show is all about his style, his interests, and the music that makes up his films.
Totally.
Tell us a bit about why you want and what you want to nerd out about.
Yeah, I mean, David Lynch, I guess I was introduced to him by my sister, Hart, originally, Hart Lavender, and she's a little older than I am and taught me a lot of really cool artists, so including him, and introduced me to Twin Peaks, so really wanted to, give him a little shout out tonight.
Yeah, shout out to older siblings.
Yep, totally.
Great. So tonight we've got a mix of audio clips and the playlists, some of the songs, and sort of back the music from his motion pictures. Mm-hmm. And let's get started. I don't know. I think we should start with a couple songs and then maybe fly into a clip from there.
Yeah, sounds great.
Right on. Well, so once again, you're listening to the David Lynch episode on Mind Funnel, 93.9 FM, CICK Smithers Community Radio.
Different and so new, was like any other, until I met you, and then it happened. It took me by surprise. I knew that you felt it too. I could see it by the look in your eyes. Sweeter than wine, softer than a summer's night, everything I wanna have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment, while your lips are close to mine, will last forever. Why won't you dance with me? Hey, hey. Why won't you dance with me? This magic moment, so different and so new, was like any other until I met you. And it happened. You know, it took me by surprise. I knew that you felt it too. By the look in your eyes, sweeter than wine. Ooh, softer than a summer's night. Everything I want, I have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment, sweeter than wine, softer than a summer's night. So please, save the last dance for me.
I always found Smashing Pumpkins to be an odd choice for a David Lynch film. Like, why was that so weird to me? there's a certain modernity to it,
totally.
Whereas, like, Lynch seems stuck in time, but he's not, obviously. He's like a, what is he, anti-futurist? I made that up.
Doing some, experimental stuff that he usually does, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. I thought that was an odd choice, but I like that song. So, to start it off there, we had... In Heaven, Alan R. Spitt.
And David Lynch.
And David Lynch.
Yeah.
In Heaven, from the Eraserhead soundtrack. We were just talking about the Eraserhead. Strange film. One of his first, when he was like a student film or something. Very experimental. Strange film, but quite a magical film. Really weird.
And also kind of his first big commercial break. It's what got him, on on the radar to maybe be lined up to do The Elephant Man after that.
Weird.
Yeah, with Mel Brooks.
Yeah, I thought that that's a surreal movie, if anything. Very sort of dreamlike.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought we'd jump into some clips here, listen to David Lynch talk about film. What is he talking about in these ones?
Yeah, this sort of dream rundown. State and some of his common themes, but just putting his words to it, I think.
Yeah, okay. Let's go into some clips here and then back into a couple more tracks from Lost Highway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Let me just find those. It's going to be a bit messy, so...
Daydreams that I love. And sinking down, sitting comfortably in a chair, where you might be controlling some of the thoughts and directing yourself here or there, but at a certain point, the dream takes over and you enter in a place where things are unraveling before you without your intervention. And many things can present themselves that way, and sometimes ideas that you fall in love with.
You have a very good heart, and you are interested in other human beings. You make people feel at ease, and you're very intelligent, and you have a very good heart.
And you just hold it like this.
Okay.
And you.
As cinema is such a beautiful language, and all of you all, you want to go back into. You have the gift of words, but cinema is a thing that deals with things beyond words, and it's so beautiful, and so. To go with cinema is to go like the same kind of thing you go with music. But the intellect travels along with it. It's so fantastic. It talks to you, but not with words alone. So just go in open and just go in and have an experience in a different world.
Nice. That's. Yeah, I mean, the way he talks about film is reflected in, what does he do? He just lets his movies play. They kind of do have this daydream effect, right?
Yeah, totally. It's kind of a common theme for him. Like, yeah, the daydream or like dream state comes into a lot of his films. And he's a man of few words, right? So you hear these interviews where he is talking you know, kind of talking about how to interpret these things as a viewer. And there's interviews where I've seen where he says, you know, like, it's really an intellectual film. And they say, expand on that. And he says, no, you know, like he just kind of has a few words to speak about these things. It comes out in his film.
Yeah. No, I really like the concept there about the daydream. And at some point, it just takes control and you're not... that's where the dream aspect comes in, and it's no longer your own stream of conscience, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Any more clips there before we jump into a few more tracks? So those two songs, we had Lou Reed from This Magic Moment, Lost Highway.
Yeah, and from then, Lost Highway.
Yeah, Smashing Pumpkins, like I was saying. I guess around the timing of that movie was Smashing Pumpkins era and Nine Inch Nails era. There's a Nine Inch Nails song on that soundtrack, if not a Marilyn Manson as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I think it's sort of like some of his attempts that are more at a more commercialized film, right? Like Lost Highway was like a box office, kind of a seller of a film. But definitely at the time, not quite as well received as maybe it is.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
Yeah. Something I found so strange about Lost Highway was the theme around being observed. Like, not only is there like an investigation by the investigators or the FBI or whatever it might be, but there's also the aspect of people filming each other without their knowledge, and almost like major events don't happen unless you're being observed, and I don't know. That lends to the circular aspect of that film, which is so odd.
Yeah, that comes up a lot, like with Blue Velvet too. Mm-hmm. Like Kyle MacLachlan's character kind of being in the closet,
that's
watching
right.
Isabella Rossellini and David Hopper's pretty traumatic interactions happening. Like that, the neighbor, like. Observation, the kind of voyeurism, that Hitchcock-esque kind of vibe comes into a lot of his work for sure.
Cool. I wonder if it's inspired by that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, David Bowie, here he goes. Yeah, let's get a couple more songs going here.
Yeah, sounds good.
David Bowie, and then after this, some Julie Cruz.
Yeah, so kind of get from his experimental David Bowie-ness into back into the 50s.
Nice.
And sort of corny songs.
Perfect. Oh, and then Roy Orbison in Dreams, the scene from
Blue Velvet.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after, but or do you want to talk about that before the song?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, there's this iconic scene in Blue Velvet that, yeah, we'll talk about before the song plays a little bit more.
Yeah, it's iconic and pretty intense.
Yes.
Like that whole movie is. All
very
right.
Spooky.
Back in it. A little bit of David Bowie for y'all.
So cruise me, baby, on. And the rain sets in. It's the angel man. I'm deranged. Cruise me, cruise me, cruise me, baby. This one will never be known.
Some classic atmospheric David Lynch there. Now, before we go on to another set of songs, we wanted to talk a bit about, or let David himself on some clips talk about industrial landscapes, speaking of Eraserhead. Mm-hmm. And as well as, like you said, the Elephant Man, I guess.
Yeah, totally. He loves using this theme of like sort of industrial landscapes or like kind of juxtaposing that with these sort of vivid, colorful suburban settings. And I think that's really like Laura Dern sort of said following his death that it was like he grew up in the Midwest, you know, you had white picket fences and you had this industrial landscapes down the street. So
nice.
And he sort of spoke about that in his like first time visiting Philadelphia as well. Mm-hmm. He was like really excited, like leaving the Midwest and going, like getting into the city, like yeah. seeing that urban decay and seeing those industrial landscapes was yeah. something he became really fascinated with.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Let's hear his own words here.
Yeah.
Industrial settings, mm-hmm. you know, urban decay. I mean, it's so apparent in a couple of your movies, Eraserhead, but also in Elephant Man. Elephant Man is set in the early days of industrialization in England, when there's just like soot and grime all over the city.
Right.
And could you talk a little bit about what kind of effect you wanted the city to have in Elephant Man? What kind of visceral effect you wanted it to have on the viewers?
Well, it was... because it was the Industrial Revolution going on at that time, and because the Elephant Man, you know, looked the way he looked, he was almost like a product of that. And since I'm fascinated with smoke and fire and industry and all the things that happen in factories, it was just an opportunity, you know, at every point I could in the film to, you know, put something like that in. And that Mount St. Helena's eruption, when you see close-ups of the eruption, the smoke, the curls of the smoke, or like the curls of the smoke in an atomic bomb, look very much like the growths on the Elephant Man's body. There's some connection of the way a growth grows. It's just a slow motion version of an explosion, sort of. And I was, you know, these textures and the sounds and all these things seemed right for that world that the Elephant Man came from.
Because
I also really appreciate, yeah, you're right. I appreciate the way he talks about his films, because he's the kind of guy who'd be like, you can tell what it is by the way that it is.
like Mount St. Helens, the atomic bomb, relating this to his face is like, I don't know. I'm like, where is he going? And I love it. But it's also like showing how we're a product of our environments, you know, and he does have this sort of like obsession with the 50s that we've kind of like talked about a little bit, or like through his songs you can sort of tell, and he loved that era because it showed like where like things were really hopeful, and like it was a very hopeful time. Everything was happening, the Industrial Revolution was happening, and then there's sort of this like byproducts of that happened too, right?
Yeah, the pox on the mark fit on the landscape.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
And the face.
Yes, the mark face, the industrial face. So yeah, we're gonna jump into some songs here from Blue Velvet, very intense film, and straight into In Dreams here. This is the. Can you briefly describe the scene here and that this song takes place? Because it's quite a scene in the movie.
Totally. So basically, Kyle MacLachlan's character gets taken by Dennis Hopper and this sort of gang that he has and is affiliated with to this room. You kind of think it's going to be like a creepy, you know, underground something. And it's this kind of beautiful lounge, and they have somebody who sings the song and sings it to them. And, it's this sort of strange voyeuristic quality as well that he evokes, right?
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Candy colored clown. Okay.
Go look at the clip as well on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's pretty worth it.
Yeah, yeah. Blue velvet, candy colored clown. Yeah. Very odd.
Everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away.
precious and warm a memory through the years. And I still can see blue velvet through my tears.
You know, this is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee. I've had I can't tell you how many cups of coffee in my life, and this is one of the best.
Well, let's transition into a bit of Twin Peaks work here.
Damn fine cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that was Booker T and the MGs with Green Onions. And hey, before that was Messer Chups with the Twin Peaks Twist. And a little bit before that was Bobby Vinton with Blue Velvet. And some Twin Peaks-esque background noise.
Yes.
Now, you were a big fan of Twin Peaks.
Definitely.
That's what drove you to probably do this show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. That was kind of my introduction to Twin Peaks. And I think probably it is for a lot of people because it was a primetime television show. You know, it went from being, I don't know, it was Monday nights or Wednesday nights or something. And they bumped it up to Saturdays because it got so popular. And
nice.
Yeah, this song, just a bit about it, too, like the background theme music here, and Angelo Badalamenti and Lynch worked together on quite a few soundtracks, like
totally.
Blue Velvet too, and
Lost Highway probably parts of that.
I don't know.
I mean, like
he did Red Bats with Teeth. I think there we go.
The first song we played. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting composer for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Twin Peaks, if you haven't watched it, is like a mystery horror drama, starring Kyle MacLachlan, and they're investigating the murder of Laura Palmer in a small PNW town, like the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
it's charming, it's creepy, it's full of dreams and visions, and very character driven, but also like sort of spiritual driven, and it's got all these weird cool iconic lines in it, like you heard that one clip, like the damn fine cup of coffee or damn fine piece of pie, and the owls are not what they seem, and one thing that's really great about it, one of the characters that I love, and I was her for Halloween one year, was the log lady. She carries a log around, and she's like, my log has something to say. And if you had, like my sister had, was all the DVD collection of it, and there are these log lady intros, which is missing from the Netflix version, which is too bad, because she sort of talks about some of the lore around Twin Peaks in it, and like, this town has more beneath the surface than what it shows. And one of the most iconic parts of that that's, you know, pretty popular in popular culture, like, has become, you know, troped over and over, which we'll listen to a clip here that is kind of a trope of it from The Simpsons, but the Red Room, which is sort of this, like, purgatory or, like, dream state where, like, these characters or other versions of some of the characters in Twin Peaks will come in and talk backwards to Kyle MacLachlan, the detective, and tell him things about, you know, how to solve the mystery of the murder of Laura Palmer. And
nice.
It's very interesting.
There's definitely a theme throughout, like, lots of his films with, you know, murder investigations or crime, like with police and Mulholland Drive, for example. There's an investigation throughout, and the same with Lost Highway, I guess. And I don't know what it is. Again, I think it's that being observed or being investigated gives him another layer to the film of how things can perform and play out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mulholland Drive is another favorite for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Also, it sort of takes place in like a dreamlike LA.
Yes.
And someone was pointing this out. I was reading, like, there's no traffic and there's no smog.
Mm.
It's like the perfect LA. Which is, like, not true of the time.
Oh, wow.
In, like, the 90s or whatever, when it was just a big, like, smoggy, like, industrial city, I guess.
Right. It's his vision, his version of it.
Someone's dream version of it, anyway. Yeah. Let's listen to that Simpsons clip.
Yeah,
bit of pop culture there. And then I think we're going to move into some of his newer music, newer films.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second. But let's see this Simpsons reference here.
Yeah.
Love the Simpsons. Hold on.
Maybe the Red Room first. And then we can play the Simpsons and just get the context of it.
Yeah. This one here?
That works? Yeah.
Okay. How many seconds of this one?
I've got good news. That the mule wash is going to come back in style.
What? He's sitting there like,
Oh, gosh.
She's my cousin. But doesn't she look almost exactly wash for Palmer?
Hmm.
Nice. Okay, yeah. And then we got Chief Wiggum here trying to solve a crime. Here we go.
The parody of The Red Room.
Yeah, nice.
We're still not close. Boy, this is going to be an all-night brainbuster. Huh? Better drink some coffee. Oh, we're out of coffee. Ah, well, I'll just drink this warm cream. I'm not following you.
Burns' suit!
Huh?
Look at Burns' suit! Yeesh!
I had an idea, Chief. Why don't we check out that suit Burns was wearing when he got shot?
Right. Oh, good. Nice. Yeah, you know, so Twin Peaks is one of those shows I kind of had to catch up on. Like, had heard of it, pop culture, like, and then they remade it a handful of years ago. But I don't know, like, a lot of my friends will laugh at this because it's true of so many things in Canadian-American pop culture. I grew up overseas. I grew up in the Philippines, yeah. And I came to Canada and I had to catch up on, like, so much popular culture. And, like, Twin Peaks was one of those.
Totally.
And I'd have to sort of lie and be like, oh, yeah, I know Twin Peaks. And then I have to, like, go secretly watch it. And, I'm Canadian.
We should do some Twin Peaks in the park or something at some point. Or, nice. Yeah, watch some of it.
Deal. Yeah, there's also a movie that I meant to watch.
Fire
Walk With Me, which a lot of people kind of meh about. But, hey, you know, it didn't flop on Rotten Tomatoes, so I might give it a watch.
Oh, all right.
Have you seen it? Does it have a good, like, coverage?
Yeah.
Is it a different news story or what?
Yeah, so it's kind of the backstory. Like, there's Twin Peaks, and then there's, like, Laura Palmer's backstory, like, when she was still alive. And then Twin Peaks The Return is the one that was done in 2017. So it's kind of, like, set in modern day, but it's got the same, like, evil of man, like the spirit of Bob coming through, which is like one of the evil characters in the original series.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. They're all quite good. Yeah. I mean, as a trilogy, or not trilogy, but entity altogether, the whole world is quite creative.
Yeah, well, it's David Lynch, so it won't be so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Right, one of his last works, too.
Was it?
Shocks
Was it really?
Yeah, so there's 2017.
I almost went back to the song and I was like, no.
Yeah, so it was, I think, 2017 for Twin Peaks The Return. And then he had one more project that came out after that.
I thought Firewalk was like a 1997, wasn't it?
Yes, but Twin Peaks The Return came out after that.
Are you talking about the Netflix one?
Yes,
oh, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, decent series, I think.
For sure, yeah.
Do not forget, you are listening to CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. This is Mind Funnel, still the special Lynch Mind Funnel crossover episode with my friend Aurora, going through David Lynch's work in a bit of a chaotic manner, but we like it. We have to thank a sponsor here at Community Radio. We like to thank Nature's Pantry. They are located on First Avenue, providing you all your natural foods and all the healthy stuff you need, and as well as bulk foods and vitamins and what have you. Nature's Pantry, you can imagine it, it's there. Thank you for supporting Smithers Community Radio. Also, let's talk about some events coming up. Coming up in a couple weeks is Neurodiversity Celebration Week, and starting on Sunday, March 16th, there's a Misfits Market happening at the Old Church, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's Sunday, March 16th. 16th is a market. There is, on 17th, there is a sensory-friendly swim. There's a bracelet workshop after that, a free workshop. On the 19th, there's trivia night. And then there's a, at the end of the week, the Saturday after, March 22nd, there's a silent disco being put on by the BV Social Collective at the Old Church as well. So have a look, have a Google of Smithers Events Neurodiversity Celebration Week, and learn a bit about what's happening the week of March 16th. I think that might even be spring break, maybe. Good opportunity to get out there, parents and kids. Nah, sounds like fun, cool. All right, well, hey, what's this Nina Simmons Simone song? Do you know?
Yeah, so Sinnerman and the last one we heard by Beck there, both in Inland Empire, which is, some of Lynch's work from the 2000s.
Okay. Cool, some newer stuff. Oh, yeah, let's get into a couple of more songs here and then talk a bit more about what are we going to after this? Like, what comes closer to the end of the show? Do you know? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, I think maybe just talking a little bit about why David Lynch was so beloved and a bit more about his themes.
Cool.
And then we'll hear he's a self-proclaimed weather LA specialist as well, so we might hear a clip on that.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day, will I run to the rock? Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me, Lord, all on that day. But the rock cried out, I can't hide you, the rock cried out. I can't hide you, the rock cried out. I ain't gonna hide you down. All on that day, I said, rock, what's the matter with you, rock? Don't you see I need you, rock? Lord, 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 all on that day. So I ran to the river. It was bleeding around to the sea. It was bleeding around to the sea. It was bleeding all on that day. So I ran to the river. It was boiling around to the sea. It was boiling around to the sea. It was boiling all on that day. So I ran to the Lord. Go to the devil all on that day. So I ran to the devil.
Yes. Quite beloved by a lot of those around him.
Yeah, popular, genuine character, eh?
Mm-hmm. And we were just talking a little bit, too, about, like, yeah, the fact that he's kind of got this queer icon status, too. Like, he's got, David Lynch had a famous line of saying, fix your hearts or die. And, like, yeah, he built these queer worlds for people to thrive on, and it's deeply powerful work that was really influential on LGBTQ communities.
And he was just one for saying, like, you are beautiful, like, you are genuine, you are loved, and he's just a loving character, eh?
Absolutely. He had a huge impact on people, and he's a very peculiar man with a beautiful spirit, you know. Yeah. Man of few words, but so weird and quirky and beloved by all the actors he worked with, too. He had pet names for people on set.
Yeah.
Like Kyle MacLachlan, he called Kale, and Laura Dern, he called Sweet Pea or something along those lines. And everybody just loved working with him. So, yeah. From the sounds of it,
Yeah, no, totally. Films of David Lynch, what a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, thanks very much, David Lynch, for your beautiful spirit and your thought-provoking contributions to cinema. I hope you're having a beautiful day wherever you are. And yeah, thanks so much for having me on to talk about him too, Tor. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problems. Yeah. As soon as you reached out with this idea for a theme, I said, yeah, heck yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not just a metal show. I'll be back. I'll be back with metal in a couple of weeks, but...
We hope so.
We're all waiting for it. All my listeners are just waiting for that sludge to come roaring back.
Mm-hmm.
But let's finish with a clip of something that David Lynch got into maybe during like some COVID times. He did like a little project where he just get on air and talk about the weather or something.
The weather in LA.
Let's have a listen. I actually listened to one of those the other day, and he did a small weather report, and then he went and cut on some power tools.
Yep. There's power tools in there. I think the last one he did was the day that Angelo Badalamenti passed away. He just said, that's the end of it.
It's December 13, 2022, and it's a Tuesday. Here in L.A., a sunny morning, a gentle breeze blowing, 43 degrees Fahrenheit. It's around 6 Celsius. Angelo Badalamenti.
Tell it like it is, David.
This afternoon it'll be going up to 59 degrees Fahrenheit. That's around 15 Celsius. And it looks like we're going to be enjoying beautiful blue skies and golden sunshine all along the way. Everyone, have a great day.
Right. Once again, you've been listening to Mind Funnel. My name is Tor. I'm here with Aurora. And thank you for tuning in to the David Lynch special episode. And now back to your regular programming.